Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy. So, Father, let's pray over the word right now. We just thank you that your word is encouraging us. Lord, your word is powerful. You are the living word, Jesus. You are the anointed one. You are the one that destroys our enemies. And tonight, I pray that this word would seep down deep into our soul. And Lord, that it would catapult us out of the low places that the enemy has tried to hold us in. That we would not sink. That your word says that we will not sink. That you uphold the whole world by your word, the word of your power. And Lord, that you've elevated your word even above your name. And so as the word of God goes out tonight, I pray that it would elevate, that it would lift up, that it would bring courage. And Lord, that it would bring freedom and deliverance. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I began to sort of go back to a series I preached a few years ago, and I've restructured the messages, but the series was called The Precious Promises of God. And if ever was there was a time for us to stand on the promises of God, it's right now. God's promises are yes and amen, which means yes. He never says no to a promise. He always says yes, especially his promise. And amen means let it be and let it continue. So when God gives you a promise, he's saying, yes, I'm going to do that. Yes, it's going to be. And yes, it's going to continue. And he's just looking for our resounding amen back. Amen? I love it. Okay. So last week we talked about how that God promises strength for the weary. And right now I feel that many have come to a place of just feeling weary. I know that I'm tired of the news. I'm tired of the bad news. I'm tired of being, you know, stuck in the house and having to just be away from all of you and our church family. I miss you all so much. I miss your faces. I miss your hugs. I miss you being here together. There's such a synergy and there's such a corporate anointing when we can come together. And if you're feeling that sense of weariness on you, I just want you to know you're an atmosphere shifter. You have the authority of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and you have the promise that God gives strength to the weary. So just know that this is temporary. This too shall pass. And just draw upon the strength of the Lord during this season, because it is coming to an end. Amen. And then the second thing I wanted you to know is that God has promised to destroy your enemies. This brings me so much comfort, because there have been times when we're facing actual, you know, enemies through people. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers of darkness, despot kings in high places. And we know that the demonic is always busy, always looking for a body through whom he can work. And the enemy looks different at times. Sometimes it's, you know, him working through a friend to betray you. Sometimes it's him working through reckless people that don't, you know, engage in good hygiene and, you know, to have the door open to the enemy through all kinds of immoral behaviors and all these other things. And the enemy begins to work and bring disease and bring disorder and bring all kinds of distress into our lives, because he's got an open door in a person. And so I just want you to know that tonight when I'm preaching this message, this first part of the message, I'm not getting any kind of satisfaction in thinking that God's going to, you know, just take people out and flatten people and kill people. And God is good, and he's not looking to kill his creation. He's not looking to hurt people. But I do want you to know something, that God is looking for his people to continue to be valiant. And I want to look at the definition of valiant. He's looking for his people to continue to be brave-hearted, to continue to be stout-hearted, to be strong in the midst of opposition and adversity, and to know that God is going to take care of the enemies of our soul. He's going to take care of the enemies of our body. He's going to take care of the enemies of our finances. He's going to take care of our enemies, period, because he said so and because he promised to do it. And David made this comment in Psalm 60, verse 12, in the New King James Version. He said, through God, So this is the first and the most important part of this this text, is that it's through God. It's only through God that we will do valiantly. That's a statement. It's not a question. There's no ambiguity in that. David is saying, look, there comes a point in our life where we realize that I've got to engage and connect to God, and through his strength, we will, not might, we will do valiantly, for it is he, capital H, it's God who shall tread or trample down our enemies. Jesus, when he gave the disciples his authority, he said in Luke 10:19, he said, behold, I have seen Satan fall from heaven like lightning. So in other words, he got thrown out for his rebellion. He became my enemy. He used to be my worship leader, but he became my enemy when he rebelled against me and he wanted the worship for himself. I had an enemy in heaven. I cast him down to the earth, and now he's your enemy. Because he's your enemy, he's my enemy because I love you. But he said, I'm going to give you my authority. He's talking to the disciples. I'm going to give you my authority. In Luke 10:19, he said, behold, I saw him fall from heaven like lightning, and I give you my very own authority. And he says, now, because, I mean, this isn't what he said in the text, but it's what we know now that his spirit resides inside of us. He said, I've given you my authority. And then he said, you shall tread on serpents. You shall tread on scorpions. In the context of Luke 10:19, he is talking about the demonic. He said, you shall tread. He said, and I've given you power over all of his power. And nothing, no thing shall by any means harm you. I think we can all agree that a very major thing has come. It has come to the nations. It has come to our lives. And if it's not coronavirus, it's somebody slandering you. It's somebody lying on you. It's somebody promising you the moon and delivering you a bucket of rocks or whatever else you get. It's the hurt that we feel in our heart when the enemy has come and he has taken a loved one too soon. It's all of those things, whether he's operating through a physical human being who still has breath in their body, or he's working through the memory of a hurt, of a loss, or some type of grief, or some type of fear that we're facing right now, the enemy comes. And David was saying, look, there comes a point in our life where we have to decide, I can either do this by myself and be weak and wobbly and fall apart and not be brave and not be stout-hearted and you know, lose my destiny and let the enemy win, or I can say that through God, we will do valiantly, for it is he. It is he in us, Christ, the hope of glory, the power of the Holy Spirit, the resurrection and the life, the one who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the triumphant spirit of the living God inside of us, who's given us that authority. It is he using our bodies to tread and trample down our enemies. He's not talking about your neighbor or the person that hurt your feelings. He's talking about the spirit that was operating through that individual because they had doors open in their life. And at some point, you just have to make up your mind that we have an adversary who roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But we also have a God through whom we will do valiantly. We have a God through whom we will trample down every serpent, every snake, every demonic spirit that tries to come against our life, against our family, against our finances. I love the way it says it in the message. It says, in God, not out of God, but in God. How many of you are in God right now? I tell you, I'm in God. This is the time to get in God. It says, in God, we'll do our very best. He'll flatten the opposition for good. See, we got to understand this thing that's come against our nation, the fear that's come against our nation, the loss or the lack of finances for right now. This hasn't caught God by surprise. God has the whole world in his hands. He has you in his hands. Our times are in his hands. The good times are in his hands. The bad times are in his hands. You know, the trying times are in his hands. The grief times are in his hands. The joy times are in his hands. It's all in God's hands. And you've got to see yourself resting in the hand of God. But at the same time, you've got to see yourself standing strong with your armor on in God, in Christ Jesus. That's where we are. We are in him and he is in us. And Jesus isn't just walking around any old place. He is seated right now at the right hand of God the Father in all power and all glory and all authority. He has been given the name that is above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord, both in heaven and earth and below the earth. Hell knows your identity, and it is time for the body of Christ to stand up in boldness, in excellence, in bravery, and say, God, you have given me a brave heart right now to face what others are cowering in fear and fawning in fear over. You have given me a brave heart to ride out on the battlefield with my other believers, with people who know who they are in Christ, to open up our mouth and to let a two-edged sword come out of our mouth, to get out the sword of the Spirit in our hand, which is the Word of God, to lift up our shield of faith with which we extinguish not some, but all the fiery darts of the devil, and let the enemy know, look, it may look like you are bringing gross darkness upon the earth, but God says at the end time that the glory of the Lord shall fill the whole earth. This is going to be my finest hour. My job is to shine. My job is to be a city set on a hill for all the world to see. My job is to be the house on the street where people are not holed up in there in fear, worried about some germ jumping on them. My house is to be the house where worship is leaking out the windows, where prayer is leaking out the windows, where we're singing and we're taking communion every day and we're declaring that this too shall pass. This thing is leaving as soon as it came. Come on, in Jesus' name, we are going to flatten the opposition for good because God has given us the authority to do so. Woo, I feel like preaching tonight. I think I am. So anyone who desires to live a valiant life, how many of you desire to live a valiant life? I desire that. Anyone who desires that is going to experience pushback by the enemy. He will send attacks, persecution, accusation, betrayal, and a myriad of other insidious personal assaults against you. The good news is God has promised to take care of your enemies. So go forth with a brave heart anyways. The word valiant, let's look at this for a moment. The word valiant means worthy, excellent, boldly courageous, marked by bravery or valor, heroic, stout-hearted. I love that. You know, one of my very favorite movies of all time is Braveheart with Mel Gibson. I love it because he's willing to fight for something that really matters to him, to fight to the death, you know, for country, for the people. And I love those movies where they're outnumbered and they don't look like they have all the right equipment and they don't look like they have all the right stuff. And they come out and they fight hard and they do great things for their country. They do great things because it's the right thing to do. And I just want you to know that God is calling upon us to do brave things, to do right things, to come out with the weapons that he has equipped us with. And do the right thing because it's just the right thing to do. You know, the enemy wants us to concede. He wants us to sit around and give in to demonic grief. To look at our situation and build negative scenarios about what the future is going to look like. And he doesn't want us to be bold. He doesn't want us to be courageous. He doesn't want us to be excellent right now. He wants us to just, you know, let go of everything that matters to us. It means anything to us to not dream for a bright future. He doesn't want us to have hope. He doesn't want us to see ourselves beyond this. He doesn't want things to turn around for us. He wants us to get on the bandwagon and say, oh, this is going to last longer than people think. And oh man, this is going to sink us financially. And this is the worst that I could have ever imagined. And this is exactly what I feared. And you know what it says in Job? It says, what you fear will come upon you. It is time for us to realize that if you can fear something upon upon you, you can faith something upon you too. It is time for the church to begin to say, oh, what a faith has come upon me. I had faith that my family was going to be restored. I had faith that I was going to increase in a season of famine. I had faith that that spouse was going to come to me. I had faith. Come on, somebody, put your own dream out there. I had faith. I decided to be stout-hearted in the midst of my pain through God. We can't do it without God. The second point is this, that not everyone is going to be thrilled with your bold courage and pursuit of excellence. You know, I think there are people that actually appreciate the fact that I haven't really missed doing what God's called me to do. I mean, even in the first week or so, I put someone else up because I was at the hospital. Pastor Rick was in critical care, but, you know, there are probably some people, and I love you if you thought this, but like, man, you know, does she even really care? I mean, what is she doing? And, you know, let me tell you something. I care very deeply, but I also know that God is on the throne and that Pastor Rick is in God's hands and that God would not want me to neglect the calling that he's placed on my life. He wouldn't want me to sink into despair and not stand up as a general in this end time army and put on my coat and get on my horse and get my sword in my hand and say, come on, prayer warriors. It don't matter what kind of hit the devil has brought against my life or my family. I still got a prayer life. I still got a God who's on the throne. I still got a calling that I cannot neglect. Come on, I don't know who I'm talking to tonight, but you still got a family that needs you to stand up and lead. You still got a God and a whole heaven that is rooting for you right now, saying, don't let it kill you. Don't let it sink you. Come on, have faith in the middle of this storm. Things are about to turn around. Things are about to get better for you, but stand up and be stout-hearted. Choose it in Jesus' name. So not everybody's going to be thrilled about your bold courage and your pursuit of excellence. Be excellent and bold, boldly courageous anyways. Don't allow your enemies to distract you from your mission. Keep moving and trust that God will take care of them. You know, a few years ago, we had some things happen. And there were people that even said, oh, they won't survive it. They won't make it through this. You know, some of you have been through that. Oh, look at them now. This will never work. And don't ever do that, because especially to people that are called, anointed, appointed, equipped, and love God. Because you know what? They're comeback kids. They really are. Every setback is a setup for a comeback. And when they come back, God's going to seat them at a banquet table. He's going to give them prime rib. He's going to honor them. He's going to distinguish them. He's going to give them the royal robe of excellence. And he's going to throw a party for them. And guess what? You're going to be invited to sit in the front row to watch them succeed. The one that you thought wasn't. Because that's just how God is. But see, we got to decide that we're going to be brave-hearted. And we're going to be stout-hearted. And we're going to go forth no matter what happens. And that we're going to keep moving. We can't let the haters and the people that persecuted us and the people that slandered us and the people that wrote us off distract us from our mission. Listen, don't give up on your dreams right now. I don't care what has happened. If a relationship died on you, if something happened that has hurt your heart, don't let your dreams die with somebody who didn't have enough love for you to stay and invest in those dreams. Let them walk on. Keep moving. God's about ready to do in your life what he told you he would do. In Jesus' name. You can clap for that, all seven of you. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Yes, Lord. The next thing I wanted you to know is this, that you can expect your enemies to turn and run when you cry out to God. In Psalm 56:9, it says, I know that when I call for help, my enemies will turn and run. I know that because God is with me. You know, there have been times when I thought there were people that were really my friends. They were really for me. You know why? Because they said so. Oh, I got you, boo. I got you, bae. I got your back. I'm with you. I'm with you all the way to the very end. Oh, sorry, the ghetto's coming out. I wish you could be close enough to see it. Anyways, you know, you've all heard it. I'm there to the very end. I'm your ride or die. And you know what? They just went bye-bye. They did. You know, it's when you really turned in and you started seeking God and you started getting serious about your relationship with the Lord. You started growing in your identity. You started figuring out who you are. You started realizing what a masterpiece you are. You started realizing the destiny that God has on your life. You started valuing yourself enough to set healthy boundaries. You started to love the person that God created. And all of a sudden, you start crying out to God more than you cry out to them, more than you cry out to all of these people in your life. And because you started to become healthy and you started crying out to God, certain people started running away. And you thought they were your enemy. No, it was the enemy that had them, that was trying to control you, trying to control your insecurities, trying to play on the broken places of your life. I want you to know something. Pray for them, but let them run on. God's going to bring new people that are going to run into your life, that know how to cry out to God with you, know how to stand beside you. But see, you got to know that God is with you. You got to know that God is with you when the vacuum of their presence is hurting your heart because you thought that they were your friend. Let me tell you that God is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. Many of you have gone through the bye-bye, I thought you were my friend vacuum, the pain of all of those things, and found out that God is with you. That God, he still wants you to have a stout heart. He wants you to be bold. He wants you to be excellent. He wants you to go forth. He wants you to continue to work your calling, work your craft, work your dream. I even had talked to some people recently, and you know, they really began to serve God. The spirit of excellence came on their life. They began to dream the big dream that God had for them. They even began to talk about it. You know, you can't talk about your big dream with just everybody, because there's always going to be somebody who hasn't dealt with the devil that's messing with their insecurities. And then the moment that your dream starts to open up because you had faith for it, they're going to start to become jealous of you, talk about you, start to say, who do you think you are? All that and a bag of chips. Come on. How many of you heard that? Oh, now you think you're better than me now that you're serving God. You're all holier than thou. No, we aren't holier than thou. We know that God is holier than us, but we are we're holding on to Jesus and we're believing him for the dream that he's placed upon our life. But there's always going to be those demonic spirits that work through the back doors that are open in those people's lives. And I want you to know something. They're not your enemy. The enemy of your soul is your enemy. But you got to stand up in the middle of those painful seasons when you feel the vacuum of their loss and say, God is with me. I've called for him. My enemies are turning and running. He's going to flatten the opposition for good. God is going to bring me out into a spacious place. I'm preaching myself happy right now. The next thing I want you to do is to expect that God will reveal himself as the one to be greatly feared by your enemies. He will cause their schemes to fail. And if they do not repent, they will live with their dishonor forever. The best thing you can do is obey Jesus and bless them. Do not get in the same spirit as them because you don't want any part of their demise. And this is the word of God. This is not you wishing the worst on someone. When you are walking in love, the Bible says this, that you do not delight in evil, that you take no joy in seeing the demise of others. But we cannot get around the word of God. You may not take delight in it, but someone who rails on you, someone who persecutes you, someone who comes against your life when you had every intention of just walking in that, you know, that love and being a pure-hearted person and all of that, you know, and they hurt you and they're not repentant. They don't care. They don't care about your pain. And that is one of the greatest pains that you can ever experience, is loving someone so deeply and knowing they don't care. They just don't care. And Jeremiah said this in Jeremiah 20:11. He said, but the Lord is with me as a dread champion, one to be greatly feared. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble and not overcome me. Wow. Listen, the Lord's not going to allow your enemies to overcome you, but you've got to be brave. It says they will be completely shamed, for they have not acted wisely and have failed in their schemes. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. Heaven is taking note of these things. If heaven takes note of it, you shouldn't. Just let it go. Let it go to the bank up there and let it go. You know, here's the good news. If you've done something dishonoring, you've done something you need to repent of, repent. Because the Bible says when you repent, you confess your sins, that he's faithful to forgive you of all your sins and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So that dishonor that is going to be remembered forever, that will never be forgotten, that is being recorded, it remains in heaven as a record against the unrepentant person, never to be forgotten unless one repents. The Bible says when one repents, what happens is those sins, those remembrances are thrown into the sea of forgetfulness and they are never to be remembered anymore. They are as far as the east is from the west. That's the good news of the gospel, that no matter what we have done in dishonor, it can be remembered no more through repentance. That's a good word. So every valiant warrior, every brave-hearted warrior needs a stockpile of victory promises. And here are three main victory promises from the Word of God that I have stood on, and I want to give them to you. Many of these are familiar to you, and if they're not, they need to become familiar to you. Isaiah 54:17 is the first one. No weapon that is formed against you will succeed. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you will condemn. This peace, righteousness, security, and triumph over opposition is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And this is their vindication from me, says the Lord. Now, if this was just the prophet Isaiah saying this of his own accord, if this was, you know, Jeremiah or this was Ezra, or this was somebody saying this, it would not have the same impact. This is God Almighty. This is Yahweh saying this to you, saying this to his righteous ones. He's saying, I give you peace. I give you righteousness. I give you security. I give you triumph over opposition. And not only that, I give you this promise. That the enemy will fashion weapons. And sometimes his weapon looks like your boyfriend. Sometimes his weapon looks like your girlfriend. Sometimes his weapon looks like your best friend. Sometimes his weapon looks like something else. But you know, he's very crafty. He doesn't just use cars, houses, and material goods. He uses something with a tongue. And that's why it says every tongue that rises against you in judgment. Okay? The greatest weapon the enemy fashions against you is a person with a tongue. A powerful revelation. He fashions them. He gets into their mind. He begins to form their mentality. He begins to form their belief system. He begins to form something within them. And they don't look like an AK-47. They look like the person that says, I love you. But the enemy has a hold of their brain. And he is conforming their brain to his lies, to his deceit, to his hatred, to his malice, to his deception. You got to understand something. When the enemy wants to tear you up, and he's going to fashion somebody with a tongue as a weapon to try to take you out. Look, I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but the word curses that have been spoken over you by people that you thought loved you, God is about ready to uproot them. He is about ready to loose you from the power of those words in the name of Jesus. He's about to use you and the authority that he has put inside of you through his word to demolish every lie that has been perpetrated against you. He is about to demolish the ruined reputation that they tried to bring against you, against your church, against your family, against your reputation, against your destiny, against your future. It is your heritage to go forth and to fulfill the destiny that God has for you. But he had to remove the weapon from your life, and that is not his anger or his meanness. That is his love and his mercy. That is his vindication. That is his avenging you. Oh God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whew. Thank you, Lord. The second promise is from Joshua 10:24-25. I love this. I don't have time to do this whole story. But there were these five kings that had come out against Joshua. And these were powerful kings. And God said, I'm going to give you the land. Don't be afraid. Everywhere the soles of your feet trod, I'm going to give you the land. All you need to do is meditate in the Word of God day and night. Morning and evening. Keep it in your mouth. He said, meditate on it and speak it. And he said, and obey it. And then he said, you'll have good success. You'll have good success. You'll prosper. You'll be financially secure. You will be provided for. You will be protected. He says, but this is the secret. Keep the Word of God and obey it and talk about it. And these five kings had come out against Joshua and they were rounded up. And it says, Joshua called for all the men of Israel and told the commanders of the men of war who had gone with him, come up close, put your feet on the necks of these kings. I love this because I'm trying to tie this sermon all up. David said, through God, we're going to do valiantly and he's going to tread down our enemies. God is just looking for some people who will believe him because he's going to bring the despot kings. This is an analogy. He's going to bring the despot kings that have surrounded your family. And he's going to give you the complete grace. The number five is the number of grace. He's going to give you the complete grace and the power to put your feet on the necks of these kings. These enemies are under our feet. God has given the church grace. Come on, we are in the age of grace. We've got the grace. We've got the power to put the devil under our feet. It doesn't matter how surrounded we look right now. It says, come up close, put your feet on the necks of these kings. So they came forward and put their feet on the necks of the five kings. Joshua said to them, do not fear or be dismayed. Don't be intimidated. Be strong and courageous, for this is what the Lord will do to all your enemies against whom you are about to fight. We're fighting an enemy right now. Listen, we may be about to fight another one in the next few years, but I want you to know something. God is saying, be brave, be valiant, be stout-hearted, be bold, be excellent, be courageous right now. The title of the sermon, I didn't even give you that in the beginning, was You Make Me Brave. See, God is the one that makes us brave in times like this. He's the one that gives us the courage to stand up and keep moving forward and believing in our dreams and putting the devil under our feet. To put our feet upon the necks of these kings. And it goes on to say that they took out their swords. They took out their word. And they slayed the enemies. That looked like was going to take them out. I want you to know something. The church, you need to get your feet on the necks of despot kings right now. Coronavirus is no big deal to God. It's an NBD. No big deal. Come on. Be strong in the Lord. Be brave. The last one is Psalms 27:1. And this is an exuberant declaration of faith. This is the subtitle. An exuberant declaration of faith. Man, if ever there was a time when we need to be exuberant. Exuberant, I don't want to do it because I'll probably fall out of my gold high heels. But, you know, exuberance is more than, you know, praise the Lord. It's like movement, you know, there's strength in it. You know, it's a get up and get your jig on. I mean, come on, let's get up in our house and turn on the music and begin to dance. And we need to sing out right now. And David said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me, not if they did, when the wicked came against me to eat of my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. And I wanted to just give you that tonight. Worship team, you can start to join me now. We're keeping these services at an hour and 15 minutes, just because we want to honor time right now. And it's an evening service and some of you have babies to put to bed. All of those good things. God is saying to us through this message tonight, as I wrap this up, I want to make you brave. I want you to do valiantly through me. I want you to know something. I've given you power to put your foot on the necks of these demonic spirits. The enemy is under your feet. Through me, you're going to tread them down. Through me, you're going to flatten them for good. Through me, your enemies are going to stumble and fall. Through me, you're going to demonstrate bravery to a world that is watching others crumble, others fall, others falter, and others fail. He's saying, I don't want you to lay down. I want you to get up. I don't want you to draw back. I want you to go forth. Life, this, what we call life here on this earth, it's not all there is to life. It's very short. It's very temporary. He's given us gifts and he's given us abilities to do as much for the kingdom of God with the time that we have. But life is short. Life as we know it is short. And it's too short to give the precious energy that God has given to us to the enemy. We need to exert every bit of energy that we have to point other people to Jesus. We need to exert our energies in praise and in worship and in things that are productive, things that are going to open the heavens, things that are going to invoke the presence of God. He says that the praises of his people he inhabits. Where are you putting your energy right now is my question. I want you to turn your focus and your time and your energy to the Lord. I want you to begin to declare these promises over your life. That there is no tongue that has risen against you that God will not take care of. There's no weapon that the enemy has fashioned against you right now. The lying tongue that's coming through the doctor that the Lord's not going to take care of. I had a doctor look me in the eye and tell me, I can offer you no words of hope or encouragement. In that moment, everything stopped and I saw a vision. I saw God's hand and I saw the whole world in his hand. And then it was like I was looking at Google Earth. My eyes went in. I could see the topography of the earth. I could see the mountains and the ocean. And then very quickly, it faded to cities and homes. And then I saw Pastor Rick and me laying in the hand of God, in the palm of God's hand. And I came out of that vision and that doctor was staring me in the eyes and I said, with all due respect, my hope is not in you. It is in God. And I felt the calmness of the Lord. I felt the peace of God. I felt bravery in my heart for what we have been walking through now going into our sixth week. I know this. God is stable. God is able. God is strong. God is immovable. God is love. God is supportive. God is protective. God is the provider. God. And his word will hold you together and keep your heart in a place of valiant bravery. If you will put him first, if you will make sure that you are staying vitally connected to him, that you are in him and that he is in you and that you're looking to him every day. You may be walking through the valley of the shadow of death. You may be walking through the valley of foreclosure. You may be walking through the valley of a friendship, betrayal. You may be walking through some valley of grief and loss right now, but I want you to know something. You're going to come through the other side, and the enemies that you flattened behind you are going to be there for good. They're going to be flattened for good. I pray over you right now. All of you watching, just lift your hands right where you're at. Maybe you're in your bed. Come on, just lift up your hands. Father God, I thank you for this word. It is your word. You are the anointed one. You are the Christ. You are the conqueror. You are the one that flattens our enemies below our feet when we decide to stand up in your authority and walk on with you. And right now I release your comfort, the comfort of the Holy Spirit upon your people, upon every person that is watching and listening to this message right now live and that will watch it later in the future. I declare salvation upon their life. I declare surrender, that they are surrendering their life to you now. They are declaring that you are Lord, that their soul is being redeemed from the enemy and from the pit of hell forever. In Jesus' name, I break the power of the demonic off of their life and off of their mind. I declare freedom in Jesus' name. I declare your word, God, that you are destroying every enemy of their soul. And that includes this awful coronavirus that has come to our nation in the name of Jesus. I want to give you this opportunity as I close tonight. I always say I would rather you have it and not need it than to need it and not have it. If you do not know Jesus, if you have not received him into your heart, you need to right now. The Bible says right now is the day of salvation. Now, not tomorrow. Now is the accepted time. In other words, God will accept you right now, right where you're at. No matter what you've done, no matter what's been done to you, he says, receive me right now. It's not hard. You don't have to be at a church service and walk an aisle. Right now, you can't. You can just receive him now, right where you're at by faith. Jesus said, if you believe on me, I will in no wise cast you out. I won't reject you. I'll just receive you right now and you'll have eternal life. You just put your faith in me and I'll receive you. So I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I commend you. I mean, I just encourage you right now. Receive Jesus. Jesus saves. Jesus delivers. Jesus heals. And Jesus gives eternal life. And the consequence of not receiving Jesus, the alternate, is to spend eternity apart from him. Place called hell. That should not be an option. Pray this prayer. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you repent of your sins, you shall be saved. Just say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. I acknowledge that I need you as a Savior. I ask for your mercy and your forgiveness. I receive you now into my heart. I declare that you are Lord of my life. I submit my life to your lordship. I forgive everyone that's ever hurt me. I ask you to fill me right now with your spirit. I thank you for writing my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I know I will never, ever, ever be the same in Jesus' name. Come on, give up a big old praise. Amen. The Bible says that when one person believes, all of heaven throws a party. You just made the greatest decision of your life. I encourage you to tune in on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday nights at 7 until you can find a good local church if you're not near us. If you aren't, find a good Bible-believing church. Write us at soulharvestwc@yahoo.com and let us know, and we will be praying for you. I love you all. Stay safe. Wash your hands. Honor the president and your governors. And let's put this thing behind us. Pray hard. We've got enough power to drive it out in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Love you.
Well, we'd like to thank you for joining us today. Thanks to those who give generously to this ministry. It's because of you that makes this ministry possible. You can click the link below in the description box to give now or visit soulharvestwc.org/podcast for more information. If you've enjoyed this podcast, you can subscribe. You could also share with your friends, click the share button, take a screenshot, and also share in your social media stories and tag us at SoulHarvestWC. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.